What a blessing it has been to worship with you guys this morning. We really appreciate the worship team bringing to us what they have brought to us this morning. I've shared with you before, my first church I pastored was a small rural church in Tennessee, and after a morning of worship like that, one of them might be prone to say, if that don't bless your blesser, your blesser's broke. You know, so I was thinking about that this morning. It's really been a blessing to worship with you this morning. And today's an important day in my life. Today is my last day before vacation. And the people that are most excited about that are not named Lynch. They are all the people who work in the church office. They cannot wait for me to be out of their hair for a few weeks. I can sometimes be a handful, especially in the month building up to vacation, because I just kind of get ready to be gone. And one of the things that I do to kind of start in a ceremonial way the beginning of vacation is that I turn off my mobile phone, and it stays off the entire time. Because here's what I discovered about myself. I discovered that because phone gives you access to email and you can text message, and because of social media and all of that, I never really quite got away. I would be responding to emails about church things, texting about church things, watching you guys on social media, kind of panicking about your general spiritual condition based on what I saw on social media, and feeling like I got to rush back and be their pastor, you know, immediately. So I just decided the very best thing for me to do, best thing to do for my family, is that as soon as everything's over tonight on the Ridgeview campus, we have a meeting. As soon as everything's over at 6, I'll turn the phone off, and it'll just stay off, and I'll be fully present for my family that entire time, which they appreciate mostly, because I am an easily distracted human being. And I can kind of just live in my own little pretty world in my head, and I'll get a wild hair in my head to just go somewhere, and I won't tell anybody on vacation. So I'll just leave. I'll just randomly get up, and as Caleb says, wander off. That's actually what he says. Dad wandered off. And so they begin to have these conversations. Where's Dad? I don't know. And then I'll come back in, you know, an hour later with a Slurpee and a paddle ball, you know, and they'll say, you know, Julia said to me before, she says, what on earth would we have done if we had needed you while you were gone? And I said back to her once, whatever it was we did before 1993, when I finally got a mobile phone, we'll figure it out, but that was not good enough for them. And so what I started doing a few years ago is I bought a burner phone, like I'm a drug dealer. And I'll get a cheap phone, and then I'll load it with a plan for a month, and then they're the only ones that have the number. And so now when I wander off, rather than issue a silver alert, they will call the phone, and I'll be able to be found. And this is it right here. This is my drug dealer bat phone, whatever you want to call it. And here's what I found. I found that when I get this out and charge it and load it with the monthly plan, I have an emotional reaction, because this is not a phone. This is a tangible expression that I'm on vacation, you know? I mean, that really is something that I found out about it. When I get this phone out and it makes all its little vacation noises that are different than my noises my phone makes, you know, the other weeks of the year, I just realized, man, this means that I'm on vacation. It's a symbol. It is a tangible expression of the invisible reality that I'm on vacation. Now, our world is awash in symbols. Really, it is. And symbols that give tangible expression to invisible realities. Think fireworks mean the 4th of July. Turkeys mean Thanksgiving. Christmas trees means Christmas. We have these symbols that we swim in, and that is especially true of our faith. Our faith is a symbol-laden faith. And the most significant of those symbols is the symbol of baptism. Baptism gives us a tangible expression of the invisible reality of our salvation. And today, we're going to talk about baptism. There's a very practical reason we're going to talk about baptism. In one sense, we're going to talk about baptism because we have a very special event that is going to take place in our church family at the end of July. Periodically, during the summer, we will have an event called Burgers and Baptisms. And so we will eat burgers at 8 o'clock or at 5 o'clock, and then we will have an outdoor open water, everybody can see it, baptism at 6. This year it's going to take place at Shawnee Mission Lake in Shawnee Mission Park. We'd been doing it in Olathe. People began to complain about the water quality there. And so we decided we'd go to a bigger body of water, go to a swimming area. We're going to have a really great time. That's going to be on July the 31st. And what we did a few years ago is we just kind of got that season of church life going by explaining baptism. We felt like that might be an important thing for us to do today, is to talk with you about baptism and why it is this is such a significant event in a person's life and a significant event in the life of our church when we get together at the end of the month of July. And I want to begin doing this by asking you four questions that will kind of frame for us our discussion going forward. I want you to answer these questions privately. Just think about them, and then we'll kind of come back to them at the end. The first question is this: have you ever been baptized? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've been baptized? Question number two: did your baptism take place after you committed your life to follow Jesus? So think about that. Question number three: was it performed under the authority of the local church? And then number four: was it by immersion? So those are the four questions I want you to keep in your mind. Think about what your answers might be. Have you ever been baptized? Did your baptism take place after you committed your life to follow Jesus? Was it performed under the authority of the local church? Was it by immersion? So with those questions and our answers in our mind, let's kind of go through baptism. What does Scripture say to us, first of all, about the meaning of baptism? What is the meaning of baptism? And if you study God's Word, you will find that the meaning of baptism is actually multifaceted. For instance, if you go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5, you don't have to turn there, it'll be on your screens. If you go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5, you will see that idea of washing, which is a kind of an image of baptism, is the washing of regeneration, being made a new life, and renewal, being regenerated again by the Holy Spirit. So it is meaning, gives expression to our new life in Christ. If you look at John chapter 3, verse 5, which again you don't have to turn to, it's on your screens, Jesus speaking here lets us know that baptism in some way is kind of an initiatory act in entering into the kingdom, entering into the faith community. But perhaps the best place for us to look in God's Word to really get to the meaning of baptism is to look at John chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. And I would appreciate if you'd open your copies of God's Word there to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. And what does God's Word say to us there? Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. Paul's writing, and he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." There's a lot of really rich, good stuff in those verses that we just read. But if we're thinking about the meaning of baptism, we can look at those verses and understand that the primary reason that we are baptized is that it is a means of identification, of personal identification with the life and work of Jesus. And there are three points of contact as it relates to that personal identification that are spoken of in that passage that I just read to you. The first point of identification is identification with his death. Christ's death was as a substitute for us. In Christ's death, the sins of all of us were judged, the final judgment pronounced. And so as we are baptized with him in his death, it is a way of saying that we are identifying that the judgment that was on Christ for our sins was indeed for our sins and was necessary for us. The second point of contact is the burial. And this passage lets us know that that burial was with him into death. Now, the burial really doesn't get the theological significance in modern preaching that it needs to. Because in the New Testament and in the early church, the burial was extremely theologically significant because it bore witness to the fact that the death of Christ satisfied God. God, in pronouncing death over Christ and as confirmed by his burial, demonstrates that what Christ did for our sins was satisfactory for him. His wrath had been quenched against our sins. So there's a point of identification with his burial. And then finally, good stuff, point of identification with his resurrection. As we are raised in baptism, we are identifying with the new life and the new existence that Christ's life and death and burial have made possible for us. And so then, simply, baptism is a means of public identification. When we are baptized, it means that we have embraced Christ's death, embraced his burial, and embraced his resurrection, and have surrendered ourselves to him. So if you want to ever give an answer to someone about what baptism means, it is a public identification with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, so that out of the way, what is the motive of baptism? What compels us to be baptized? Why on earth should I want to be baptized? And the simple answer to that in Scripture is that the motive for baptism is that we have surrendered ourselves to follow Jesus. There has been a personal commitment, a conscious and personal commitment of ourselves to follow Jesus. And it is really at this point, as it relates to motive, that Baptists become Baptist. You might suspect that if you've got a form of the word baptize in your name, you probably think baptism is pretty important. It defines us in some way. And that point of identification, as far as I'm really concerned, point of definition, is being defined by the fact we do it because we've made a personal commitment of ourselves to follow Jesus. Now, not all faith groups believe this. Not all Christian groups share this same understanding. There are some groups that believe that baptism is a means by which salvation is transferred. In other words, it carries for us salvation. I cannot be saved, in other words, to use our language, I cannot be saved unless I am baptized. Groups that believe something like this, the Roman Catholics believe this, Methodists believe this, the Church of Christ believe this. There are several different groups that believe that baptism transfers to us our salvation. Then there are other groups that think, well, it's not really about the personal commitment to follow Jesus. It is instead about being identified with the faith community. Presbyterians would be a group that would practice this understanding. It's less about your personal commitment to follow Jesus as it is your identification with the people of God, being identified with the church. The reasons that they baptize infants for those who are of the persuasion that baptism transferred salvation ought to be pretty self-evident. There is a problem with the death of an infant. Where does that infant go if they have not yet been saved? And so it began to be believed that baptism was a means of transferring salvation so that you had an answer as to where infants who died would spend eternity. Then the Presbyterians and other groups like that began to say, okay, well, baptism kind of corresponds to the rite of circumcision in the Old Testament. Circumcision in the Old Testament was a sign of the covenant. It was a means of identifying yourself as a part of the people of God. And that happened with boys who were on their eighth day of living. And so they said, oh, well, baptism is that for us. And so because that happened for boys who were 8 days old, told, this happens for infants in our church. Not a personal commitment, but a means of identifying with the faith community. But we believe that there's a very clear pattern for baptism over and over again in the New Testament. It is faith first. I've surrendered myself to follow Jesus, and then baptism. Faith first, profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and then baptism. Now, right now, this may be creating a little bit of vibration in some of your hearts because you come from a family that baptized you when you were an infant. And there is perhaps a sense that I am in some way attacking that. And I want you to hear me clearly. I am not attacking that. I am not at all saying to you that there is no value at all in what you experienced. What I am saying is that it is not a biblical expression of baptism. It may have been very meaningful for you and your family as a connecting event, as a spiritually significant event for the adults who were a part of it, as a way of saying we've got to give our children to Christ and bring them up in it. It may have been all of that. But as it relates to the clearest understanding of what baptism is and how it's practiced in the New Testament, it cannot be called, I don't believe, in the truest sense, biblical baptism. Because biblical baptism, as we see it over and over again in Scripture, is being baptized following a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. So the motive, why am I baptized? I am baptized because I have surrendered myself personally, willfully, to follow Jesus, which then brings us to an important question of mode. How is it that we are baptized? And we believe that the proper mode of baptism is baptism by immersion. Full water, full body baptism. I had an administrative assistant when I was very early on in the pastorate who was a Cumberland Presbyterian, and she always used to laugh at me. And she said, it takes more water to save you Baptists than it takes to save us Presbyterians. Because, you know, we baptized everybody, took them down below, held them there for a while, brought them back up, you know. So we baptize by immersion. But the reason we baptize by immersion is because of a word. And words are important. And the word is a Greek word, and that Greek word is baptizo, which is transliterated into English to baptize. Now, what does that Greek word baptizo mean? From the very best Greek dictionary that is out there, let me read to you the definition. I'm not going to tell you the name of the Greek dictionary because it's got like five German guys' names in it that I cannot pronounce after having had this book for years. So, but here is the definition from the very best scholarly biblical Greek dictionary of the word baptizo. To put or go underwater, to plunge, dip, or wash. Let me read that again. To put or go underwater, to plunge, dip, or wash. This is the word that tells us what John the Baptist did to Jesus when he was baptized, and this is the word that explains for us what the New Testament church did for new believers. It in no way means sprinkle. Now, it makes sense for us because of the meaning of baptism. Keep in mind the mode. It is going under the water and coming back out of the water. The mode is important because the meaning is important. Right? The meaning is what? We are publicly identifying with the life, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the mode of immersion brings that out very, very clearly. That is an important point to hang on to. Now, there's something else I want to share with you that frequently gets lost in translation, and that is the idea that this baptism by immersion needs to take place under the auspices or the authority of the local church. Now, hear what I'm saying and make sure that you understand I'm not saying something I'm not saying. I am not saying that you've got to be baptized in a church with a steeple on it and climate-controlled thing, all right? I am saying that the church is the body that has the authority to convey biblical baptism. If you go into the New Testament, you will see that baptisms were conducted either by the apostles or others to whom that authority had been transferred. There's no deviation from that pattern. Why is that important? Well, I've shared this story with you before, but it just so clearly illustrates why it's important to be baptized in a faith community that I want to share it again. I had a fella in my first church in Tennessee named J.O. Purcell. And J.O. was rough as a dirt road. I mean, just a rough, rough dude. And his family desperately wanted him to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And J.O. never missed church, but he refused to surrender his life to Jesus just to spite his wife and his daughter. He was tired of them messing with him. And one night, I mean, we prayed for J.O., and he was a friend of mine. And he came up to me one Sunday night after church. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I want to tell you something, but don't tell anybody else." I said, "Okay." And he said, "Last night behind a barn, I prayed to receive Christ." I said, "Well, that is fantastic. Why don't you want to tell anybody?" "Well, I don't want my wife and daughter carrying on. This is just between you and me." I said, "Well, we'll work on that, but good for you, you know?" And then he said, "So here's something else I want you to do. Before dark one night, I want you to come out and baptize me in the pond. Nobody else, just you and me." I said, "J.O., I'm not going to do that." And he said, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Because you're causing your faith community who's been praying for you for years to miss out on this public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. And I promise you, the cows who are standing around looking at us don't care. All right? It is a means of public identification with Christ. And also, listen, this is very important. I said this to J.O., say it to you. Your salvation is not a private thing. America may tell you it is. Your salvation is not a private thing. It is a community thing, and the community celebrates it. So you and a buddy getting out, taking turns, knocking each other under the water in the name of Jesus is not the proper expression of baptism, because baptism needs to take place in the context of your faith community so your faith community can be able to celebrate it. I spoke with a lady after the first service who grew up in a country outside of America. And her faith community at that time was the little small study group that met together on a regular basis. That's where her baptism took place. That counts. It's her faith community. It was the local church in action in her life. But I'm just wanting to make sure you understand, it's not just about going underwater. It's about going underwater with the blessing and celebration of your faith community. That is the proper mode. And then let's conclude by thinking about the mandate for baptism. All right, we've looked at the meaning. It's a public identification with Jesus. The motive, I need to have surrendered myself to follow Jesus in order to be baptized. We've looked at the mode, by immersion under the auspices and authority of the local church. So why should I do it? Well, simple answer, first, Christ was. Christ was baptized. If you would please find the book of Matthew. Let's look at Christ's baptism, and let's look at what Christ said at his baptism to make sure we understand why we must be baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John the Baptist, would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him," listen to the words of Jesus, "Let it be so now. Baptize me right now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill," that's the word, "to fulfill all righteousness." Now, there's a rich discussion to go through to talk about what Christ's baptism actually represents. We're not going to go into that, not because it's unworthy, but simply because we don't have time this morning. Instead, I want you to focus on the why. Why was Jesus baptized? And by his own words, he tells John the Baptist. I am being baptized. I'm requesting to be baptized because I want to fulfill God's plans for me. I want to be fully obedient to what God wants me to do. So Christ's baptism demonstrates to us that baptism is a means of obedience. We must fulfill what we are being asked and commanded by God to do. You say, okay, well, where then are we commanded to be baptized? Go to the end of the book of Matthew. Find Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at the last few verses. If you come to church much, these verses are very familiar to you. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 18. Here's what it says. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Now, how do you make disciples of all nations? Look at this. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, let me tell you what we tend to do, which is really ironic given the fact that we have Baptist as our name. What we tend to do is we tend to emphasize conversion. We tend to say, you must come to a point in your life where you are surrendering yourself finally and fully to follow Jesus. And that's absolutely true. We emphasize conversion. And then we skip over baptism, say, you know what? You can do that when you get around to it, and go to teaching. You need to start learning about your faith in Jesus Christ. So what are we doing? We are unintentionally minimizing the importance of baptism in the discipleship process. Jesus says in the only job description that the New Testament church has that baptism is indispensable to disciple making. Why? Because it is a public identification with Jesus that preaches to the entire world what it was and what it is that Jesus Christ has done for you. And so there is not an option to be baptized. If I've come to a point in my life where I've surrendered myself to follow Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord, one of the acts of obedience that He calls me to is to publicly identify with Him through this symbol. It is not an option. And so now let's go back and think about those questions that I asked you at the beginning. Have I ever been baptized? Question number two. Did your baptism take place after you committed your life to follow Jesus? In other words, did I have faith first and then baptism? Third, was it performed under the authority of the local church? Was it practiced in context with my faith community? And then number four, was it by immersion, which gives the clearest picture of that point of identification and which is the very definition of the word baptize in the first place. Now, what I have, based on what I've been trying to show you from Scripture this morning, if you answer any of those questions with a no, then you have not yet completed this step of obedience that Christ calls us to. And again, if you were baptized in another way, it is not my purpose to attack that. It is my purpose instead to explain clearly what baptism is from the scriptural point of view. And if you answered no, then it is high time for you to begin to think and plan for your baptism, provided that you have indeed surrendered your life to follow Jesus. If you have done that, if you know that heaven is your home because of what Jesus has done, and you've surrendered your life to Him and turned from your own life to follow Him, then baptism is required for your full and complete obedience to God. And so here's how the invitation is going to work this morning. First, if you have surrendered your life to follow Jesus, but you've never been baptized, as we have talked about it this morning, and if you want to talk to someone about being baptized, in particular, but not exclusively, but in particular, being baptized at Burgers and Baptisms on July the 31st, then I want you to open your bulletin. Everybody can do that right now, as a matter of fact. Just grab your bulletin that you received when you came in. Open it up. And there's a tear-off in there. You can give us your basic contact information, and then outside of that contact information, you will see some letters. If you would give us, if you think, you know what, I need to be baptized, and I want to be baptized at some point, but really interested in being baptized at Burgers and Baptisms, which would be a really unique, kind of special, memorable time to do it, then give us your contact information and circle letter B for baptism. We're smart like that, all right? Circle letter B. And then in just a moment, when the offering plates come, your response to the invitation will be to place that in the offering plate when it comes by, and then this is what will happen. Someone will be in contact with you within the next week to listen to you about your story of faith. Tell us when you came to know Christ as Savior. To talk to you again about the meaning of baptism, and then to find out when you want to be baptized. And again, we hope lots of folks are able to be baptized at the Burgers and Baptisms event July the 31st. But if you're here today and you're saying, I've never given my life to Christ. It's just been church stuff. It's just been religious stuff. I've never given my life to Christ. Then what we want to do for you is we want to have a conversation with you right now. We're not going to make you say anything to anybody, stand up in front of this group, but we want to have a conversation with you right now to help you process what it means to be saved, to surrender your life to follow Jesus today. And Pastor David will be here in just a moment, right here in front of me, and we'll have deacons here, and they'll be thrilled to talk with you about what it means to surrender your life to Jesus.